acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 46, The Labyrinth, Friday, July 18th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah. I'm podcasting from the campus of Skerritt Bennett in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am sitting on a bench overlooking a small labyrinth and gardens within the campus. And Skerritt Bennett is located adjacent to Vanderbilt University campus. This is the second of my on-location series in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you everyone who has given me encouragement about recording on location, and for those of you who have said, don't worry about the ambient noise, it's exciting to hear where you're recording. This morning it is a bit drizzly and I have a very wet seat, so right now I am actually sitting on my umbrella and hoping that the tree overhead will shelter me and that it won't start raining too hard. I'd like to welcome new listener Tanya 2000. She's from Barrie in Ontario, Canada. And the first thing I'd like to mention is something I neglected to say in the previous episode, which is the extraordinary weather we're having in Nashville, Tennessee for the Super Summer Knit Together. A lot of folks were talking about how hot and muggy it can be in Nashville, and since we've arrived, the weather has been warm and breezy, sunny with big puffy clouds. Everyone at the retreat and the population of Nashville has really been enjoying this beautiful weather. Now, overnight it became a little more overcast and there's a chance of rain throughout the day today. The temperatures are in the 70s and it's just really nice. It's very comfortable. Since arriving at the Super Summer Knit Together, I have been palling around quite a bit with Mary Beth, who is out of this world on Ravelry. Just shortly after meeting up on Wednesday afternoon, we headed to the Mellow Mushroom and we just caught up on all of the things that have been going on in our lives since the last time we talked, which is when Mary Beth was hiking the Appalachian Trail and she came over to visit Yin Hu for a while. On Wednesday evening, the big festivity was a welcoming reception and an overview of the retreat, a welcome to the Skerritt Bennett Center by some of the staff. The buildings are beautiful. The dining hall in particular is reminiscent of Hogwarts, with long tables on each side and beautiful windows and stonework. A lot of attention to gardens and an ecological point of view. And the woman who officially welcomed us to the Skerritt Bennett campus, sort of the Professor McGonagall of Skerritt Bennett, talked about the mission of the organization. It has a history of being a college for women missionaries, and still it is very much devoted to issues involving women. Not everyone on staff knits, but they're very excited about having the knitters here, very welcoming and helpful, and they really make the experience just so wonderful. The meals are also very, very good, and the chef accommodates a very wide range of dietary needs. So everyone's walking around very full and happy and excited to be together and meet the other knitters. Following our welcome and an overview of the retreat, there was a drawing for all kinds of prizes. And I only used a few of my raffle tickets that I received, but I won a prize. I won the Boutine necklace pattern by Laura Nelkin. And it was just a great reception and a lot of good energy. And then I spent some time knitting and talking to everyone after that. On Thursday morning, I took a class with Malia Jackson. She has the Yarn Raising podcast. It's a video podcast. And the class was called Spinning the Yarn You Want. It was a 3-hour class, very intensive. And one of the things I liked about it was that it assumed some knowledge of spinning. And that was helpful because we were able to start off with the things that everyone wanted to get out of the class, and we didn't take a lot of time to go over rudimentary things. At least I didn't think they were rudimentary. Malia led us through a number of different exercises and trying different techniques. And in order to try them, we often needed to just spin quite a few yards of singles. So she used that time to do talking and to do demonstrations and to write a number of things on the board. And then when she was done talking, then we would try a technique. So the pace was very nice. There weren't too many of us in the class, maybe about 10. So there was time for individual attention and for her to repeat things that people needed repeating. She talked about rules in spinning versus traditions in spinning. And there was a lot of technical information, but the one takeaway that I'd like to share, and I think it's true for knitting, I think it's true for a lot of crafting, is that there are typically very few rules. The rule in spinning, the number one rule, is did you make yarn? Did you make something that will hold together and you'll be able to use it for another project? Everything else is pretty much a custom or a tradition or a culturally relevant practice. And it's not set in stone. So you should experiment. You should improvise. You should try things out and see what works best for you. We talked a great deal about the difference between worsted and woolen spinning and techniques for doing that, what projects would be most suited for those kinds of yarns, and what fibers. We also tried making a plying ball, different methods of butterflying, making a bracelet with singles so that you could then two-ply them right from your wrist. We tried ply-on-the-fly techniques, and we saw a number of different styles of spindles. I also tried a little Jenkins Cuchulu that one of the members of the class was passing around and allowing people to use if they wanted to. I also learned how to spin over the fold, a technique that I didn't really understand, even though I heard a lot of people talking about it and found that it wasn't as difficult as I anticipated. I think the kitchen staff of Skerrit Bennett knows about the Bulk Bins cook-along because there was an incredibly delicious and healthy quinoa dish on the menu at lunch on Thursday. Also, a number of folks have talked to me about the podcast, which is very gratifying, saying, oh, I listen, and mentioning the Bulk Bins cook-along, and quite a few of them have mentioned, well, I haven't tried Amaranth. And my reply is, walk, don't run to your local health food store to try Amaranth. It's really healthy, but I think it's a challenge. In the afternoon, I hung around the campus and talked with a number of different people before dinner time. I saw Paula's progress on her tripartite vest, And we both commiserated a little bit about some of the lack of direction in Stephen West's patterns. Whenever I encounter any challenges with a pattern, being a new knitter, I always assume it's me. But Paula confirmed that there was a lack of direction, shall we say, in Stephen West's pattern. She's knitting tripartite with Quince & Company Sparrow. Very, very different from the lace weight yarn that I used to make mine. And it's really neat to see the difference in the fabric based on different kinds of yarn. So that was a lot of fun. And of course, talking with Paula of Knitting Pipeline, incredibly gratifying. I've also met Meg, who is the proprietor of House of Yarn, which is the local yarn store here in the vicinity of Nashville, and they have now a yarn bus, a yarn van, that's going to appear this evening at the Nashville Farmers Market. So I hope to go and check that out. And then late last night, I had left my knitting on the table in the main room, and when I returned to it, Lauren Elkin and Amy Herzog were hanging out, as well as Amy of Ross Farms, who raises heritage breeds of sheep. We had a really nice conversation. The evening ended yesterday with an event called the Tasting Room, and it's a chance to try out all different kinds of tools and techniques and products without sales pressure. And the folks who have contributed those things to the tasting room are generally on hand to explain and demonstrate and help you give that a try. There was incredible energy, and people were trying all different kinds of techniques and products. It was really a lot of fun going to the tasting room last night. Just a couple of the things I tried, a number of spindles. I tried Bosworth, Golding, and Jerry Brock spindles. Bosworth and Golding are top whorl spindles, and Jerry Brock is just a beautiful style of Turkish drop spindle. I also spent quite a bit of time spinning on Mama Lineman's Luette Hat Box. This is a very rare kind of Luette spinning wheel. It's a portable wheel. It comes with a distinctly shaped cover. Inside of the cover is a lazy Kate, and it has quite small bobbins. Mama Lineman said that she can get about 2 ounces of spun fiber onto each bobbin. And it is tricky. I mean, it has the typical Luette tensioning, quite a bit of pull. You have to really spin the yarn pretty tight in order to get it to wind onto the bobbin without breaking. It was just so much fun to try that wheel and to use a bunch of different kinds of fibers and have an experience that, you know, it's very rare to be able to spin on a wheel like that. Samuel has also been busy during our time here in Nashville. On Wednesday afternoon, the two of us went together to visit Third Man Records, created by Jack White of White Stripes. One of the fascinating aspects of Third Man Records is it has an analog recording booth from the 1940s. This is the only booth of its kind, I was told, that is open to the public. And you can step into the booth and record about 2 minutes of yourself singing or accompanying yourself with an instrument. And then you can watch as the record is printed and drops down into the slot for you to take with you. And there's even a vintage record player in the store for you to try it out. So Samuel tried that out and left with a record, which is really cool. It was a very cool experience. Samuel also had an onstage experience last night at Soulshine Pizza Factory. Since arriving in Nashville, he had been working on finding a musician to accompany him. And he met up with this guy, Derek Pell, who's a Nashville local and very good fiddle player. And the two of them had a really nice set. Mary Beth accompanied me. We ordered some pizza. And we had some great local beer. And there were a number of performers from outside of town coming in to do just two or three songs before the main act. And that was a lot of fun. Well, thanks for joining me in Nashville this morning. It's time for morning yoga and a little bit later, a fleece processing class with Sadie. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great week as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set. Bye-bye.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, a bird out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a